Okay, our next speaker is a guy standing here. My name is Wenwei Xu. My two co-authors are Dr. Jingping Chen, Dr. Zhang Guoxing. Both are USDA plant geneticists. I'm going to talk about exploring native genetic variation for improving drought tolerance and water use efficiency in corn. We know that today many companies are exploring transgenic approach. We are looking for genes that already exist in corn, I believe, and we have data show that the quite a variation available in corn germplasm. We all know that drought tolerance is a very important trait for worldwide corn production, and water has become a most precious natural resource, especially the place where I live. We are running out of water. So drought strain not only affect yield stability, it also affect quality. So if we have water, we have good economy. So the improving drought tolerance is a key component. You have seen all different slides. When the corn plants are experiencing drought stress, you see different symptoms. There are different type of drought exist. Some of the early stage, you'll see the leaf rollings. If you withdraw water gradually, in a vegetative stage, one obvious one is plants become shorter. That occurs in the vegetative stage. But if a drought stress occur after flowering, you won't see the plant height variation. So the plant height is already fixed by the time. Late stage drought stress will show the early senescence, so it's a staggering trait. Of course, severe drought stress, you will see that all the plant collapse. In that case, it's not a 10% yield loss, it's a total loss. So sometimes you harvest a good crop, looks like, oh, my crop looking good, but when you combine, they're smoking. All the kernels are colonized by different type of fungus, as produced flavor produced fungi, aflatoxin is one of the popular ones in Texas and the southern states. So farmers can produce some corn, but they could not sell because no one wanted to buy the one. It's prohibited by when aflatoxin get to reach some level. So improving drought tolerance is critical for maintain production. And in order to looking for a lot of genes, we can look at a variety of imberlines. This slide shows some of my imberline evaluation for drought tolerance. You could see there are quite genetic variation. This line definitely is susceptible, and this is drought tolerant, and this is good. And if we look at carefully, not only plants remain green, but they also have good shoots, and later on they produce good grains. So most breeders have been exploring the genetic variation above ground. We have heard before, so that's easy to see. When you subject plants, the staggering trait, definitely that's what you need. These are bad, so there's good hybrids. When you look at it, grains that produce good yield and also high quality. But the problem is how much variation underground, we don't know because it's too time consuming. We just heard some high throughput techniques, shoveling, but you know how many you can dig, especially when you stress the plants under drought condition, you really cannot dig because you may dig up this much, then become rock. So it's getting very challenging to look at roots. We're looking at we can look at some imberlines and see how much variation underground. So I have a set of lines of involve 52 imberlines. So we want to look at the genetic variation in transpiration rate and root characters. We use 52 imberlines. Among these 52, four public lines already available, the B73, A632, W64A, and I believe that one is Missouri 17. The other 48 embryo lines are developed from my breeding program. We use this because we have grown these 50 embryo lines for 2 years in the field, and they show significant difference in response to the drought stress in the field. So growing the greenhouse in the pots with mixed soil, and each pot we put the same amount of soil and add the same amount of water. And then we plant the seeds. And when the seedling emerge, we punch a hole and allow seedling come out. Then we seal the plastic. And after that, we put a little bit of soil on the top to prevent the pot getting really hot. And then we want to see if the same amount of water, see how much it can grow. We want to find the plant that can produce maximum amount of biomass with the same amount of water. So here are some results. This is how the plant grow. And certified, this is for 35 days after planting, and the plants start showing some leaf rolling after 44 days. And 56 days, some are really susceptible, they become completely rolled, and this is a good one, they're still happy. So they're still using a lot of water available. As you continue 64 days in the morning, a lot of plants rolling. So that means that the pods running out of water. And 64 days afternoon, you can see all plants become onion. So that's really bad. Plants are really thirsty. And that's basically, at this stage, we measure plant leaf growth. At this stage, the plants stop growing. No more water available. So at this stage, we dig up roots and we wash it and check the root volumes and things. And here's the variation. Of the 54 lines, 52 embryo lines, Okay, I have another one. Somehow when I come PDF, my table disappeared. Anyway, you can see some line produced 9.5 grams of biomass by consuming 1 kilo water. And some didn't produce much below 6. So there's a huge difference with the same amount of water. That means that when they use, because remember, this is all the water loss completely through plant leaf, because we seal the pot. So there are some plants leaking water, just smoke a lot of water, but didn't produce much biomass. I think the goal is that we need to find some of these plants that will be hopefully use the same amount of water, you can produce more biomass. That's the shoots. And look at the roots. Majority roots, majority lines can produce close to 50 grams roots by using 1 kilo water. And some are very low. And this is the total transpiration rate. This basically total root and shoot diameter divided by the amount of water lost. Highest about 9 grams per kilo of water, some low less than 7 grams per kilo, so 30% difference. And there's a root volume variation from 9.5 mil to 19, so about twice the amount different in terms of root size. We also look at the root length from 42 centimeters to over 62 centimeters. The primary roots, I think this is basically what Martin said, primary lateral roots, number of branches from 6 to 13. So there are big difference among the embryo lines. The question is how this is this related to drought tolerance? I think we're looking at a little bit different components. The water transpiration rate may not contribute directly to drought, but what we really need is we need to combine high transpiration rate with high drought tolerance traits. That way the plant can sustain drought stress and produce more biomass per amount water. So this is what you see greenhouse. There is some correlation, but not very strong. Based on the shoot-based transpiration, there is no correlation with the staggering trait in the field. But there is a negative correlation in the shoot-based transpiration with the staggering, because we rate a staggering based on percent of the green leaf. So higher, the worse. So if this is a 5, this staggering may be 2.5. So lower staggering rate is related to a higher root-based transpiration. Means bigger roots, better staggering. But this correlation is still fairly low. Now, how this translates to designing drought-tolerant crop, I'd be glad to hear your suggestions. That's pretty much I have. In summary, drought tolerance is a complex trait. Significant variation, genetic variation exists in terms of transpiration and root caricatures in the non-transgenic embryo lines, and staggering rating of drought stress plants in the field is correlated with the root matter and root-based transpiration rate. With that, I stop any questions. Yes, Jim.
When you showed the root distribution of the values and the shoot distribution, were they the same plants?
They're the same plant. We harvest the whole plant, we split, separate shoots, separate roots. Okay. They're from the same plant.
Does one that did well for roots also do well for shoots, or do you know that?
You know, I didn't have time to look at it. I need to look at the one. Yeah. There may not be some have bigger roots, some have shorter plants. Yep. Yes, Dave.
Your estimation of root volume is done in an assay where the plants are gradually getting more stressed. Is that right? You just give them a certain amount of water?
All entire pods, we add the same amount of water, which is which is 3 liters. Yes. Yeah. So during
one of the reasons your correlation may not be really tight to staggering in the field is that some of your in the field
you still have water.
Early, so
yes.
You're putting on much more roots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Do you have any information on the relationship between the inbred line performance and the hybrids formed from those inbreds?
That's a good question. You're great, right? I can see. Okay, I haven't seen you for some time, but the answer is yes. Okay, excellent staggering trait plant produce good hybrids, and in some experiment, they tend to be partially dominant. So if I have inbred line, the hybrid tend to have good staggering trait, and they produce better yield under stress conditions.